GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Our pen pal Henry has written in,
"You've got mail,"
to the McLaughlin Seafood inbox at WVOM at blueberrybroadcasting.com. In our conversation with Jim Lebreck, CMS, our tech advisor on energy, the question of the day, would you buy and drive an electric car? Henry writes, "Good morning, gentlemen. A new generation of nuclear power plants would go a long way to providing us with the power for all sorts of private and commercial uses, including battery-driven cars. At present, I think Toyota hybrid technology is the gold standard for personal transportation. I don't own one, but I am looking at the option." Henry, thanks. We'll get to some of the other emails coming into us. But GHRT listener Glenn, who wrote to us, apparently he's driven bus. And this proves that he sent us these statistics. Jim and George, listen to this. A new diesel 72-passenger bus is $94,000, okay? According to my records, I've used $48,500 of fuel over the past 10 years, okay? Add that up. An electric bus right now costs $300,000. He says with the price of diesel, bus, and fuel over its lifetime, the diesel is still half the cost of one electric bus without the cost of electricity figured in. The technology may be down the road, but it's certainly not here yet, according to those numbers from Glenn.
Some of the testimony given on that particular electric bus bill, number of representatives, admitted that they're not economical now, but we got to hop on the bandwagon. We got to get the technology moving, and we got to be in front of the curve and all this kind of stuff. Why does Maine always have to be in? Why do they feel that Maine has to be in front of the curve when we're in the worst position for something like this? You know, it seemed like somebody in a highly dense populated area, let's say like Florida, where it's warm and you don't need the heat. You need some air conditioning, but air conditioning is probably only 1/6 the energy that we require for heat. It's actually 1/12 the amount of energy. So there is a little bit of a disadvantage in the summertime with electric buses in Florida with air conditioning, but it's a small fraction of the additional energy required to cool it than what it does to take to heat a particular bus. So why is it that these lawmakers go down there and they want to spend, and our tight school budgets, millions and millions of dollars on such futile things, and they think they're going to reduce all kinds of CO2. Well, they don't have any numbers. I didn't see any numbers where they do a net calculation. I looked through all these different testimonies and but there is one interesting one by the Maine Heritage Policy Center, and their argument against this bill is that, listen, get the duct tape out. This is an emergency bill. And they said,
your favorite word, emergency
bus,
bill.
The school bus bill is an emergency bill, right? And they said that, all the things, that this is not an emergency. It doesn't fit the constitutional measure. So the Maine Heritage Policy Center, thank you. And legislators that sign up for unconstitutional bills like this, not only are they stupid, but they're illegal, right? And so those legislators that sign off on this probably ought to just be voted right out, Democrat or Republican.
Caller, hello, the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Jim Lebreck, CMS, is in our studio. Would you buy and drive an electric car, caller?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't think they've developed enough the whole lifespan on these cars. What happens to the lithium batteries when they reach their lifetime use? If you're having electric cars all over the world, what happens to those batteries?
That's a question we raised last time that we had this discussion. We talk about, I don't like nuclear power because we're going to get stuck with these rods. They've got to bury them somewhere, or they're still somewhere underground in Wiscasset. But where do all the electric batteries go to die? I think I asked you that before, Jim. Where do electric batteries go to die?
I didn't see anything in any of the testimony where anybody that was for this addressed that particular issue. Again, they have no plan. This is another bill without a plan. They just move forward as though they're going to do great things for the environment and mankind, and somehow they think that this is going to save the school districts a lot of money. School districts were opposing it because they said it's going to cost them. They said, well, yeah, we'll go with it as long as it's the state money. You know, yeah. So it is ridiculous. They have no plan. So I don't know what they're going to do with those batteries, and I don't think they do. They're just going to create another problem, and then they'll have another emergency bill. Probably the battery bill that'll come down the road someday will be a true emergency.
Hmm.
I think the question ought to be, do you think electric bus bill is an emergency?
This person writes, school buses are active during the day. Solar panels only work during the day. When are we going to charge all of those buses? Are we going to have a second set in reserve? Can we really consider them efficient? Caller, hi, GHRT. Would you buy and drive an electric car?
No, I wouldn't.
And tell us why.
I just don't think that it would hold up in the main winters with as cold as it is. And then what's the cost of how much you're going to have to put into charging it off your house, or the schools are going to have to put off the, you know, charging them at the schools. I just don't think they're going to hold up the way they think they will, especially in the cold weather we get in the winter.
Thank you. 1-800-966-1039. Think a snowplow can run on electricity?
Absolutely not. I mean, you need to fill the whole back in. Instead of with sand and salt, you'll have to have the whole back full of batteries.
What are we looking at 20, 30 years down the road? It would be the question I would ask. 40 years ago, it's hard to believe this, but about 40 years ago, no one wanted a diesel engine. They hated them. The fuel gelled up. You had to warm the engine up. Nobody would buy a diesel engine. Now you have diesel cars, you have diesel everything. So where are we 25 or 30 years from now?
Yeah, we had diesel Volkswagens that were getting 54 miles to the gallon, and they cut those out because they said they were too polluting.
I'm talking about 40 years ago, they couldn't give them away.
Those are matters of thermodynamics that are simply resolved. We know what the limitations are. Right now, electric car efficiency is at its maximum. You know, the IGBTs, that drive these motors, it's called insulated gate bipolar transistors that drive these, are at the maximum efficiency. The electronic components are at maximum efficiency. You know, they're very, very efficient. And so you aren't going to have some big increase in efficiency in electric vehicles because you're already at maximum efficiency.
Based on today's technology, right?
No, George, if you're already at 97-98% efficient, where are you going to go? If you could get 100%, you could gain it by 3%, which you ain't going to do because nothing's 100% efficient. So if you're at 97% efficiency with all this electronics, okay, then you can't, if you put all the money in the world into it, you can't get more than 3%. You can't go above 100%.
Let me grab a call here. Caller, hi, GHRT. We're talking electric cars with Jim Lebreck, CMS. What are you thinking?
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, George. Good morning, Jim. I think like just like this. I mean, I could barely make it around with a 2015, 2019 vehicle. Because they've shaved off so much real metal to get the vehicle down to where they can get the miles per gallon where they want, and by doing that, by getting rid of the real metal products in the vehicle, I found that they're not lasting as long. Like a man like me is awful rough with the vehicle. The plastic's just not keeping up, and like the metals of yesterday. And if you look at what I drive today, I drive a 1985 Chevy, and I get 18 miles per gallon. And my friends drive a 2015, 2020 vehicle, and they might get a mile per gallon better than me. But tomorrow, maybe their sensor might go. That's $2,000. Or maybe their rear camera might go. That's going to cost them $1,000. It's just non-practical for me.
Let's ask a couple of questions. Thanks, caller. What about a Tesla?
What about it?
Are those strictly electric? I'm not as familiar with Tesla.
They sold about 200,000 of them this year.
I ran into a guy 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that had a brand new Tesla, and he was showing me. Yep. He actually said that he did the pilot operation on it. It lets it drive itself, and I'm like, you're braver than I am, but someone wondered about how a Tesla would stand up
to
it.
they put enough batteries in those new Teslas, the 2019 models, to give you up to 335 miles on a charge. Mm. There's one thing. If you take something like a Toyota Corolla, what do they get, about 40 miles a gallon?
Oh, I loved my Toyota Corolla, and Elizabeth traded it in.
Oh, she did. What did you get for gas mileage, Rick?
Oh, it was about 35 to 40.
Right. Okay.
It was wonderful.
That's right. So now, if you're going to compare electric car, you compare it to the price of that, you know, Toyota Corolla and the gas mileage you get there, and the pollution it puts out, and compare that to electric car, and I bet you the Toyota Corolla just swamps the heck out of that electric car.
You got to have a final thought here.
They're available. The other thing that makes electric cars more efficient isn't just electricity. It's the design, in which you could do with a Toyota Corolla. The wind resistance and rolling resistance is much less with electric car, and they could make those kinds of improvements to if you wanted to deal with the style with a gas-powered car as well.
This person writes to us, the best Tesla ever made was shot into space, and that's where it belongs. This person says, why do we have Tesla chargers in Skowhegan? And who paid for it, I wonder? And this was a thought that just came to mind. If we're going to have electric school buses, you got to figure that the lower the weight on the bus, the more efficient that bus will be if it's running on electricity. So I wonder if there are going to be weight requirements now for bus drivers.
Oh, yeah. They'll just not. Don't worry about it. They only put 10 passengers on it. So you imagine riding around in a $300,000 vehicle with your own chauffeur and you stop in traffic because there's 500 cars trying to leave the school ground, and you're sitting there idling all that time. It's ridiculous.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.